What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is April 23rd, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Chris Paddock had a great start, but it was against the White Sox. And that's pretty much the note you should have here, is that Chris Paddock had a phenomenal 7 innings of 10 strikeouts and shut up ball, but it was the White Sox. And the White Sox, otherwise known as the Cry Sox, as I like to call them, they are a lovely gift to all pitchers, and you should take advantage of this constantly. He gets the Angels next, Chris Paddock does. If you can go changeups down and fastballs up, I guess that's okay, but like, it's not really something you have to do. Carlos Rodon and JP Sears both went yesterday. I don't really know what to make of either one. Carlos Rodon, 7 innings of shutout ball, great, awesome, 4 Ks. I think he's just a Toby. He's throwing 94 and not really getting whiffs on other stuff, and it's just kind of like, whatever. JP Sears, he's a cherry bomb. Sometimes he gets his fastballs upstairs and his sweepers in the zone for strikes like it was here. 6 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, 7 Ks. I don't know if I can really depend on this in any way, and he gets Baltimore next, so I'm just going to ignore it. Ranger Suarez did well once again. He had a really lovely stretch against terrible opponents, and then I had a decent first start of the year. And in this one, it was in Cincy, so I was a little bit scared, but it was 7 innings, 0 runs. Well, 3 guys did that. 2 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. It feels like this is just a Vargas role going. This was also the best command I've seen from Suarez, where he had amazing pitch separation. With those changeups down and away and cutters up and arm side, glove side, and that's really good. So, big fan of that. And we just keep rolling with it. You know, like, okay, fine, but don't expect this to last the full year. Bryce Elder, speaking of Vargas rules, he was one last year, 6.2 innings of 0 runs, 8 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. And that is cool because it was against the Marlins for Atlanta. You got the win. This is like the Vargas rule we saw last year. He gets the Guardians next, though, and I don't really think that's very good. So don't feel like you need to hold on to this for Elder. It's, he threw a lot of like changeups over the middle that were bad and fastballs that were bad. And it's pretty much like a 2-pitch pitcher of sinkers and sliders, but those changeups weren't good. And so it's like, no, this isn't really going to last for Bryce Elder. Tarik Skubalays is going to ace against the Rays. 6 innings of 0 earned runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 9 strikeouts. Only 2 for 23 whiffs on that 4-seamer, which is, fortunately, back to 97 and not 96, but his sinker is what's doing well. 38% CSW here, which is great. His changeup went 40% CSW. Curve and slider were there, and that's cool. It's weird because it's like four-seamer is supposed to be the amazing pitch that takes over. I mean, sure, and the changeup. Sinker, I'm happy he's doing well, but it feels like, I don't know. Aren't you supposed to dominate with four-seamers? If you're not doing that, it's like sinker changeup is doing the things. I don't know. Obviously, we're just going to keep starting Tarik. We're not going to deal him in. The fact that the velocity is back up to 97 is a phenomenal thing after giving us some worry before. Albert Suarez did well against the Angels. Got the win, 5.2 innings of 0 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks. The worry that I had actually was alive here. Instead of going 96-97, it was 94 miles per hour. And that's what we saw in spring training. The first start of spring training was at 96-97 upstairs, 4-seamers. And then the second start was worst command in the four-seamer, which he did here. The four-seamer was way out of the zone. A lot, like way up and out. And it was down to 94. So what? That's not good. It did hold a 16% swing strike rate, though. That's pretty cool. And his changeup had a 41% CSW with his cutter going 71% strikes. So that works, especially against the Angels. He gets the Athletics next. So I think, like, you're going to go for this in this wonderful two-step that Albert Suarez is giving you as a member of the Orioles. But it might be the end of the line after that. Don't get too hung up on Albert Suarez, but yeah, we can just roll with this right now and not really think about it much more. Dylan Cease against the Rockies in Colorado, 7 innings. Oh, 1 earned run. Sorry, buddy. 1 hit, 0 walks, and 8 Ks. Amazing for Dylan Cease. 0 walks here because he threw cutters, right? Well, no, it was just 2 for 7. And yeah, all of them missed out of the zone and up. So we'll see, but at least they're actually recognizing this as a cutter. And of course, I'm just going to keep following this because I do really feel like that is the ultimate savior for Cease a bit because he needs another strike pitch. But then again, he had a new sweeper here, which is he's working on too, and went 5 for 5 with strikes with that. You know, it was actually kind of interesting how they were never in the same spot. They kind of outlined the down and away a bit, but one was in the middle of the plate, one was middle and down, one was middle off the plate, one was kind of at the ideal spot, then one was way down out of the zone. It's kind of funny. But anyway, this is Rockies in Colorado, and even that in Coors is still very, very streamable, surprising enough. So Cease, did well and we're just going to keep going, but we're not quite sold that Cease is completely new yet, but I'm very encouraged him being a Padre as opposed to on the White Sox. Keaton Wynn against the Mets. I got a lot of questions about him because he went six innings, one runs, four hits, one walk, and six Ks. This was great. He earned the win against the Mets. This is the most confident I've seen, or at least the best version of Keaton Wynn I've seen this year. Low splitters were fantastic. Blake's on blueprint with four seamers and sinkers up top. That's cool. And he gets the Pirates. Now, I don't know if the Keaton Wynn is going to be able to do the same thing again. And he's still kind of questionable. I know a lot of people are in on Keaton Wynn. The splitter to me isn't your traditional Gausman type splitter that is going to get a ton of whiffs here. This is more of a contact, like a strike minus ICR pitch as opposed to a whiff pitch, right? It's just about getting outs and strikes, which then makes Keaton Wynn not really this big whiff guy. I mean, sometimes the slider does show up and do some things, but that's really, I think, the biggest pushback for me. There's nothing that's overwhelming with him. However, if he is locating like this, this will work out well. You might have heard of a guy named Jared Jones, who is just amazing. And I feel like I need to give him the ace is going to ace tag because we just expect him to dominate every time at this point. He got the win here. Six innings, one earned run, four hits, two walks, seven Ks, 25 whiffs, 43% CSW. Watching him is just so much fun. He's much must watch TV. It's incredible. And I love it. On the other side of it was Joe Ross against Pittsburgh. And honestly, don't forget about this. 5.1 innings of one run, six hits, one walk, and four Ks. And it's not the first start that we've seen Joe Ross have a really good slider. You're in 17 whiffs in this one. Yes, I know against the Pirates, but still 33% CSW, just 79 pitches to do this. And it's a solid sinker slider combination. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Brady Singer when it's working. Now, it is the Yankees next, so I'm not really going to go for that, but just keep in mind that Joe Ross isn't just an automatic, oh, Joe Ross or something like that. No, he's doing a decent job of locating, and honestly, the only earned run he allowed was a solo shot to Andrew McCutchen to lead off the game, and then he went 5.1 innings, right? So that's pretty cool. All right, we have other guys to talk about, and of course, tomorrow's starting pitchers, and we're going to talk about all of that after this break. Austin Gomber hosted the Padres, 5 innings, 1 earned run, 4 hits, 3 walks, 2 Ks, Cole Story, bro. Yeah, I don't really think he's that great. The slider is just not very good. And yeah, we're not going to pursue this. Yusei Kikuchi against the Royals got the win. That's great. Six innings, 200 runs, five hits, zero walks, and four Ks. And honestly, this was a night where, well, his four-seamer was doing great things. It was high luck galore, and I love that. I've been asking Kikuchi to please just stay upstairs with the four-seamer a lot. And what do you know? 16% swing strikes, 43 throws. That's 7 over 43 whiffs. That is awesome, and I'm happy that I hope that he actually is able to hold on to that command. Curveball was good. The slider went 0 for 12 CSW, which is shocking because that's like his real good offering, I think. I think it's his best, most consistent one, and it just wasn't. So props to Kikuchi to find another way to make this work and have that four-seamer and curveball that did the damage. Now, he does get the Dodgers next, which just isn't fair. And, I mean, it's going to be a questionable start. He could make it work, but yeah, I'd probably bench that one. Brandon fought against the Cardinals, 5.1 innings, 200 runs, 2 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks. Yeah, he's a Toby. That's it. Like, you know, I just don't really think there's much more to expect. I mean, it's a sweeper that's good, but yeah, that's it. Ryan Weathers against Atlanta, 5.2 innings, 300 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? Yeah, only 4 whiffs total and about 50 combined changeups and sweepers. There you go. He gets the Nationals next. And that's a lot different than Atlanta. And hopefully he has the 3-pitch mix that we saw last time out. That was effective across the board. It was, you know, four seamers, changeups, and sweepers all working. So Weathers, I'm fine with that start against the Nationals. I'm not going to say, like, go and do it. It's great. It's going to be top of questionable start, but that should be okay. Lance Lynn against the Diamondbacks, 5 innings, 300 runs, 7 hits, 3 walks, and 7 Ks. You started him for 7 Ks, not for the 2 whip and the bad ERA, and you know what you did. Okay, cool. Hunter Green, speaking of strikeouts, 6 Ks in 7 innings, 4 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and this was a run for 4 straight innings with 9 base runners. He's a hipster, and you know this. He's a headache-inducing pitcher stifling the entire roster. You don't know if you should hold him or not. He's Hunter Green and all this stuff. Schedule isn't great. It's up to you. I just don't think that we're going to see the, oh my gosh, he's finally putting it all together. Everything is awesome. Because what do you know? All the hits pretty much were middle location, right? He's doing a lot of pitches that are separate, but then he has these mistakes every time, and those mistakes always get hit. Reed Detmers against the Orioles. Yeah, this is kind of my fears getting confirmed. I mean, 7 innings, 4 runs isn't the worst thing ever against the Orioles for Detmers. 6 hits, 3 walks, 4 Ks. So many of his pitches for the second straight start were right in the middle of the plate. And I'm very worried that Detmers is turning into this, you know, that his command is taking over in a bad way. That is, his four-seamer has worked previously. His slider has not been there really all year, kind of like Reagan's in this way, of it needs to be down in glove side and it's not. And the changeup and curveball are just not overwhelming. There are times that the changeup is working, but it really depends on the four-seamer to be established and well spotted upstairs first with its new IVB invert that makes it more effective upstairs than it used to be. And then the changeup later on in the game then pairs with that well. But I'm seeing a guy that is still worthwhile in your 12-teamers, and he gets the Twins, and that's cool. But then I wouldn't be dropping him. But this is not, to me, a breakout year because of that. Just the curveball and the changeup are not, like, overwhelming. And it's not like, okay, cool, he's going to throw these pitches and it's going to be great. Like, Edward Cabrera, for example, I feel, even though he doesn't have great command either, his overall stuff, though, is better than Detmers. And I think there's something to be said about that. Zach Littell against the Tigers didn't come through. I mean, it was 6 innings, 5 runs, 9 hits. What the heck? But 0 walks and 7 Ks. That's what people are going to point to, but that's because it's the Tigers. And he had so many mistakes over the plate, and the Tigers actually took advantage. Good job, Tigers. But here's the thing. Littell gets the Cry Sox next. So, yeah, start him there. Pretty much start anyone against the Cry Sox. It's kind of wild. Brady Singer, speaking of which, the aforementioned Brady Singer, 6 innings, 5 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, 5 Ks. Why? Because he threw 50% strikes with his four-seamer. And that is not a pitch that's going to really change anything. So what do you know? It's more sinker slider than we used to see. And against the Jays, like, yeah, he's not very good. Brady Singer. Mm-mm-mm. Jose Quintana against the Giants. 5 innings, 5 runs, 7 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks. Very frustrating. This was just, yeah, not his best command. And the Giants, well, they weren't, you know, they weren't very good. They were good against Quintana's, like, mediocre command. So it goes, we move on. And Jonathan Cannon, who I was hoping is kind of very sneaky, deep two-step. Twins start here, 3.2 innings, 6 runs, 9 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks. And it really bothered me because I think I meant to put Fede above Cannon and I didn't on the list. And I think I justified it initially as like, well, Cannon's more of a mystery box and maybe like, he does take a step forward a bit, and that's cool, so I'd rather take the chance there, which makes all the sense. But yeah, Nick, come on, be better. Fede's safer, so he should have made that ahead of him. I don't know. I mean, both aren't really that good. They're both like, I'm debating like 98 and 99 on the list, so whatever. But yeah, this did not work out. Cannon will be off the list likely next week, unless his second to start this week is amazing. Looking at tomorrow's starters, because that's what I do on the list these days. And by the way, the only update from yesterday is Dane Dunning's no longer the streaming pick because he's not 21% rostered, which is just over the 20% threshold. So now it's Eric Fede, speaking of which, against the Twins, which I don't want to do, but all right, bottom of questionable. And of course, Wade Miley is not starting. It's going to be, I think, a bullpen game for the Brewers. We don't quite know. Looking forward to tomorrow's games. It's Freddy Peralta at Pittsburgh. Duh. Joe Ryan against the Cry Sox. Oh my gosh. Yeah, the Chicago White Sox are just going to roll over there. The probable starts here, you have Garrett Crochet at Minnesota. Arguably an auto start, but, you know, he didn't do well last time, so I get it. Reynaldo Lopez against the Miami Marlins. Blake Snell against the Mets. Jack Flaherty against the Rays. Our stream pick of the day is Clark Schmidt against Oakland, which I think is such a slam dunk. You have Jordan Montgomery against the Cardinals and Bryce Miller against the Rangers, because it is the Rangers. And Bryce Miller isn't, you know, all put together quite yet. You have the questionable start tier of Sean Manaea at San Francisco Giants. I think it should work, but at the same time, same with Tyler Alexander against the Tigers. And maybe you can even say Nick Lodolo against the Phillies with Manaea. I don't really think his arsenal is that great. Same with T-Lex against the Tigers. Nick Lodolo, maybe I am too low on this. I was writing it and saying, maybe Bryce Harper is out with on paternity leave. So then maybe that's actually not so bad, but it's still at Cincinnati. And there is obviously some risk there. And we don't really know if Nick Lodolo is a finished product yet. Is it just really his curveball working? I mean, we saw him dominate the White Sox, but it's the White Sox. And yeah, the Phillies should do a little bit more damage against them, especially in Cincinnati. Yariel Rodriguez has been a hot topic, but it looks like the Jays are going to be moving away from him by next week. So he's going to get this start against the Royals and maybe one more against them. And he's been limited. He's not like a 6 to 7 inning guy. He's a sweeper guy with an okay fastball. Like, it's not that appealing to me. And I would rather just not take the chance against the Royals. John Gray against the Mariners could work out. It's a good slider, but the fastball's eh, and it's not that great. decent win chance. Same with Dean Kramer against the Angels. That's the only reason why you go for it, but I feel like his arsenal's not very exciting. Spencer Turnbull's going, and this might be the last start we see for Spencer Turnbull because of Taijuan Walker returning, and they want to limit the innings for Turnbull, which, again, I ranted about this last night on the list. On the OTC podcast on the corner, which is really fun with me and Eric Smolsky. You should definitely check that out if you don't already. But yeah, it's so frustrating. Why are they trying to limit Spencer Turnbull? I don't know. Landon Knack is also the end of the questionable start tier. This might be, I don't know yet, because Landon Knack might not go five innings for the Dodgers, but if he does, it's a fastball slider combination. That's fine. And it's the Nationals. And like, decent win chance, has some strikeouts in him. But yeah, it could be like 4 1/3 with 3 earned runs or something like that too. Do not start tier is Spencer Arrighetti, otherwise known as the Pasta Pirate, against the Cubs. And I kind of like Arrighetti. I don't think he's that bad. It's something that you want to really look into later on this year, because I believe he's just stepping in for a moment. But then again, he's now still here because, right, he wasn't supposed to be here anymore. But now that Javier is dealing with a neck injury, Spencer Arrighetti is back in. So that's actually kind of interesting. I should have realized that. I would have had Arrighetti on the list, if that is the case. I'm just thinking about this out loud right now. It's possible that the Astros truncate their rotation a lot this week because they have an off day both on Friday and Monday. So Arrighetti might not get another start until next weekend after this one. So even if you were going to pick him up for this and thinking that you might hold on to him, I don't think you should, because that's a long time before his next start as well. So I think we just kind of sit this one out. The Cubs are a good offense, and Arrighetti, can he really do the whole kitchen sink thing with a four-seamer upstairs that works? I don't know quite yet. Jameson Taillon's on the other side of that. I don't think he had his best command last time. I want to give him like another start or two. And also, this is the Astros. After this, though, for Taillon, it is the Mets, which should be a little bit better. That's pretty cool. That's next Monday. Maybe I can stop by and see him at Citi Field. That'd be really fun. Kyle Gibson against the Diamondbacks. I'll try and do that next Tuesday. That'll be really cool. Kyle Gibson against the Diamondbacks will do whatever you want. Cooper Criswell against the Guardians. I don't really think he's going to get that long, and I don't really want to do that with Criswell. Alec Marsh just did well against the Orioles. Maybe that works. Probably not. Tyler Anderson against the Orioles. Again, same kind of thing. Changeup can work. We've seen it work before, but now that he's facing the Orioles, you don't want to do that. Carlos Carrasco just staved off the Red Sox in Fenway. They don't have Devers and Cassis, and maybe this does work again, but then again, it's Carlos Carrasco. Joe Boyle against the Yankees. We know the ceiling if he's able to throw enough strikes, but he normally doesn't, and it's the Yankees. Matt Waldron's in Coors, and I think the knuckleball works worse because there's less air, and it's Coors, and you don't... Well, it's not really it's Coors because that's not as good of an offense, but it's a knuckleball. That's really what I mean to say. In Matt Waldron, you have Jake Irvin against the Dodgers, who surprisingly did it once before, but that's not going to happen again. Quinn Priester against the Brewers, no thank you. Ty Block, for the Rockies against the Padres, no way. And Cal Tyler, who you don't even know, he's a reliever. He's been a reliever for the Marlins in AAA, and he's starting against Atlanta. What? Yeah, no, we're not going to do that. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for listening to the Plus Pitch Podcast. And if you haven't yet, please just take a moment to leave a rating or review on the individual Plus Pitch podcast feed on Apple Podcasts. It goes so far for us. Every review that you leave, every rating, seriously, just takes a moment. And thank you all so much for taking that time to do that, because it really just does go far to see those numbers go up with ratings. It makes it get shown more often. It helps the success of Pitcherless a ton. So thank you all so much for those who have done that. That is it for today. My name is Nick Pollock. May your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.